Studying from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew, John starts off the ministry of preparing people for the kingdom. And lots of people were coming out to be baptized by him. But chapter 4 mentions that the Pharisees were not baptized by him. He called them a brood of vipers. They'd been poisoned inside themselves, and they were injecting poison from themselves into other people. John said, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" That you need to bring forth some fruit that indicates that God has gotten to your heart and you're changing for God's sake. And says if you don't, then you can expect the wrath of God. The Pharisees seems to be the focal point of this great Sermon on the Mount. Because there, Jesus says, here's the conditions that must be true of those who want to be blessed. If you want to be a blessed person, then these are the characteristics that must be true of you. For example, you've got to be poor in spirit, the very thing that the Pharisees were not. You've got to mourn for sin, the very thing that the Pharisees would not. On one occasion, you remember they were up in the temple, and the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men are." The publican could not look up because he was poor of spirit and he could mourn his sin, but the Pharisee could not. All of the things that make a person really a blessed, fortunate person, the Pharisees were not. He goes on to talk about you've got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Pharisees already thought they were. You got to be a merciful person. The Pharisee looked down his nose and despised people instead of being merciful. You got to be pure in heart. The Pharisee sought the praise of man, so had a divided heart. Peacemakers, Pharisees were not. You got to be a person who's willing to stand up for what's right to the point that you're persecuted for it. Pharisees sought the praise of men. We're never persecuted for righteousness' sake. You must be willing to be reviled and persecuted for Jesus' sake. Pharisees stood opposed to Jesus. Nothing was for his sake. And then Jesus says, you've got to be so different than the Pharisees. Verse 18, he says, "Assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. And whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, the Sermon on the Mount is contrasting true righteousness with the fake righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. So Jesus says in his great Sermon on the Mount that you're going to have to be different. You're going to have to do better than that. You cannot be a phony follower. You cannot be a fake follower of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to be the one who makes the difference. You're going to have to be the salt. God can't depend on people like the Pharisees to make a good difference. Jesus said, I'm depending on you to be the salt. You know, I love salt maybe too well. Salt makes things good. This is acknowledged all the way through the Bible. I was looking up some passages on that. Job 6, verse 6 says, "Can flavorless food be eaten without salt?" The implication is, yeah, you can eat it, but it won't be good. Is there any taste in the white of an egg? It's terrible. You gotta put some salt in it. Northerners don't know about how good grits are. I don't know who told them that you eat grits without salt. But that's the reason they don't like grits. My mother used to make the best grits in the world. You know how she made them? She made them with a lot of salt and a big old scoop of butter. And you mix it all in, and grits are good, I'm telling you. If you haven't had them fixed, right? It's like the white of an egg. If you don't have it mixed with some salt, it's going to taste terrible. Or it won't have any taste at all. And you'll say, what's the big deal with that? I can do without grits. Well, Jesus is making a point here about you being the salt of the earth. What does that mean? Well, the earth needs to be better. And if you're not going to be the ingredient that makes the world a better place, if you're not going to be that, then the world is just going to get worse and worse, and it's going to be a tasteless. It's not going to be an enjoyable life. It's not going to be an enjoyable culture. It's not going to be an enjoyable place to live because somebody needs to make it good. And so when he says this in verse 13 of this great sermon, you. I'm not depending on the Pharisees. They're the leaders. But they're not doing what they need to do. They're doing the opposite of what they need to do to make things good in life. And the church here, we've got to look at ourselves, each one of us here individually, that I've got to be the difference maker. It's you, not somebody else. You can't just say the church has got to do better. The church has got to do better, but it starts with you. It starts with me. We can't be super critical of the others if we're not doing any better. It's us. Jesus is saying, I'm depending on you to be the salt. You cannot depend on your religious leaders to be the salt of the earth. You should be able to depend somewhat on them, but you've got to take the bull by the horns yourself. You've got to take charge. Take charge to be responsible enough before God to say, I'm going to be the one who makes things better. You can't depend on the religious leaders. The Pharisees failed as religious leaders. In this chapter, he's talking about how to be blessed. In Matthew 23, he talked about how cursed they are and the woes that were coming upon them. They did all of their deeds to be seen of men. And only if they could get some praise for it did they do anything. And if they didn't get any praise, they weren't about to do anything. They would shout, look at me, I'm about to do a good deed. Why are you doing the good deed? So people will praise me. The scribes failed to be the real salt of the earth. And the Pharisees were no better. And yet they knew the book better than most people. At least they knew the things they wanted to know about it. Better than most people. Who's going to set the right example in this world? things are going terrible in our country, in a terrible direction. It's like we're heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah again. When God said, if you'll find me 50 people, I'll preserve Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, scratched his head, well, what if I come up short of 50? Can't find 50 righteous people, people who would be the salt, the difference makers in that corrupt society. If I can't find 50, what if I come up 5 short of that? I'll not spare it. I'll spare it if you can find that many. He scratched his head a little bit and said, well, what if I can't quite get that many? Would you spare it? And he went on down until he got down to 10, and God said, find me 10 people. Find me 10 righteous souls, and I'll spare the city for that. In other words, you've got to have 10 people who will step up to the plate and who will not look around and make it their disposition that, well, if others will, I will, but until others do, then I'm not. Until you could find 10 people who would step up to the plate and claim righteous standards for themselves, regardless of what anybody else does, then there's not enough salt to preserve. Jesus goes on to say, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. In the story in Genesis 18 and 19 of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham and his family Lot and his family needed to get out of that city. But that city was inside Lot's wife. That city meant more to her than it should have meant. And God turned her to a pillar of salt. In other words, I'm going to make salt out of you one way or the other. And this time, it's not going to be the way that you should have been. We're going to set the right example in our ungodly world, or we're not. The ungodly world is going to get inside us, and we're going to be like Lot's wife, or we're going to set a standard that is different. Who is going to set that right example? And Jesus in his sermon is saying, you are. You are the salt. I'm depending on you to be the salt of the earth. And I'm depending on you to be the salt of the earth with the flavor that makes the world better. And if you're not going to be it, then you'll be fit for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. We've got to be fit for something. Fitted for something. Are we going to fit the world? Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed with better thoughts, with better goals, with better ambitions, with better principles. You're going to use these things to mold yourself and to conform to Jesus Christ. We've got to be good for something or we'll be good for nothing. But to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. If salt loses its flavor, putting it in the grits is not going to make the grits any better. If it doesn't have a flavorable taste to it, if we do not have the taste that the Lord is good, If we do not have the taste of righteousness and we hunger and thirst for it ourselves, if we do not crave it for ourselves, then we are not going to be the difference makers that God wants us to be. He uses another illustration. Salt can lose its savor or its flavoring, and light is no good if you put it under a basket. Why'd you light it to start with if you're going to cover it up and it doesn't make any difference? Light put under a basket, Jesus says, that's no good. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill which cannot be hidden. If you're traveling in those days, you looked around the landscape when the sun went down. And if you could see a light in the distance, you were knowing which way to go. It was giving you some direction to get there. But if the city did not have its lights on, you wouldn't know it was even there. If you had a light in a house, but you put the light under a basket, then the light went out as far as being able to be seen by those seeking for truth. If you cannot be a light that is set on a hill, that guides, that sets an example, that says, I'm willing to be an example because somebody needs to be an example, and I am somebody. This is what the world needs so badly, is because the world is going corrupt because there are not enough light bearers to expose the darkness and get people used to the light. When people get accustomed to darkness, then light becomes uncomfortable to them. We need to give them enough light until they can get used to seeing light. Instead, the world is becoming so corrupt because there are too many who fail to insert a better influence into an ungodly world. We're letting the world corrupt us. Churches are becoming absolutely useless. As far as being the difference makers, many are just conforming to the world, peddling a gospel that says you're okay and I'm okay and nobody needs to change a thing. And when churches fail to hold up the light to themselves, nobody gets any light. Too many fail to insert and stand up for truth and hunger for it and crave it and demand it for themselves. It's always, let somebody else do it. We need to make the world a better place by making a difference first within ourselves, letting God's light make the difference within ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul describes the world and the effect the world had on us in this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. He says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, that is, openly setting our light on a hill, by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, the apostles were saying, we're setting the standard before ourselves so that we can set the standard before you. But he says in verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Jesus talked about doing things for His sake in His Sermon on the Mount. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts. The reason that we are commending ourselves to your conscience is because God has shone His light in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, the light is becoming inside us so that we can reflect that light and share it with you. And you can in turn share that light with a lost world. You've got to be the difference makers. We got to make a good difference at home. We got a hunger for a righteous home. We got a hunger to make a righteous home. We got to get ourselves at home on the same page of what's really important for this family. Are we all pitching together to help each other go to heaven and do the right thing, to stand up for what's right? If we don't do it there, where are we going to do it? We've got to do it at church. Too many churches are dying across this country because salt is losing its flavor. And few are standing up to the plate and saying, I've got to turn this around. I've got to make this a better place. I've got to make this a place that reflects the joy of the light of God's gospel inside me. And I've got to let it change me so that I can help change the church in the way that it needs to go. And the light needs to start growing and glowing brighter and brighter across this country. Churches don't need to be allowed to die out. We need to stand up to the plate. We've got to be the difference makers. Make it better. Love the people that are there. Encourage the people to keep holding up the light, to make it brighter, make it shine brighter. We got to do it in the community. There are things that we can do to help our neighbors. Just be a light. Be a good difference maker in your community. You see an old widow that can hardly get her groceries in, go run over there and say, can I help you with this? And you see somebody that's having a hard time mowing their lawn, just be a difference maker. Just go over and say, can I help you mow your lawn? Let your light shine. Do it for Jesus' sake. Do it because goodness needs to flavor our community and spread from one heart to another one. You're the light. You're the salt. You've got to be the difference maker. Having something wonderful inside you should then come out and be shown in this dark world. Don't hide it. Don't put it under a basket. It makes a difference in you. Share it. Light stands out in a dark world. And our world desperately needs light. And so Jesus is calling upon us. You be the difference makers. Darkness needs light. Somebody has got to show the light. The world needs to see a church that understands the better way. Paul wrote about that in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. He says, now, the Spirit has distributed all these miraculous powers. He lists about 9 of them. But he says, and desire earnestly those gifts, but I'm telling you, there's even something better than that. And he ends chapter 12 by saying, and yet, crave those things to edify the church. But I'm going to show you something even better than that. And so he goes on into chapter 13 and he says, Now if you had the gift of prophecy, or if you had the gift of tongues and you could communicate with angels, but you didn't have the principle of love inside yourself, then you would become like a clanging cymbal or a gong. You wouldn't make a good difference. So he says, go after love. You see, love is more powerful. It's better than all the miraculous powers combined. Because if you didn't have it, you're not going to make the good difference. So he tells them in chapter 12 and 13 that the more excellent way for a church is for every member to go after the principle of love and make it your own idea. Make it your own ideology. Make it your own principle. And then put it into motion and put it into practice. And when you do that, the glowing light of truth is going to get brighter and brighter. And the church is going to get stronger and stronger. And our influence on the community is going to get better and better. And people will say, I want to be a part of that church. And if we don't, people will say, they haven't learned anything there. Why should I go there? You see the difference? Light stands out in a dark world. And the light comes with the highest principle that Jesus says is the principle above everything else. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those two things, everything else hinges on that. You don't get that right, then nothing else is going to be right. Light stands out in a dark world. You're the salt that makes it a better world. You're the love carriers. You're the ones who carry the principle. You have a mission. And so when Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount says, you are the light, don't let the light go out and don't hide it. You are the salt of the earth. Don't let the salt lose its flavor. Jesus says that's your mission. You are the salt of the earth. If the earth is going to get better, it's going to be because you decided to be a disciple of Christ. You decided to be the light of the world. This morning, Jesus is calling for each of us to take this mission seriously. You've not done so in the past, and now you recognize it's my responsibility. Jesus is not going to let me forget it. I must not be allowed to forget it. My mission is to be the salt and the light, the difference maker. You've never obeyed the gospel. You haven't even started. Let's get started today. If you believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized this morning, you'll be on His team. The light can now begin to shine. You can start being a difference maker. If we can help you with that, please come now as we stand together and sing this song.